Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Leap of Faith with Penina Taylor.
Hello and welcome to Leap of Faith, the program where we talk with people about their spiritual journeys to gain insight and inspiration on our own spiritual journey. I'm your host, Penina Taylor, and I'm really excited to be here with you today. More and more recently, I've found myself saying that the world is not as black and white as I used to think it was, and that when we die, or when Messiah comes, whichever happens first, there are going to be a whole lot of us who are surprised to find out that things are not quite as we thought. Now, either it's simply that I'm getting older, or I've begun to see the world in a way that I never saw it before, but I really feel that today's interview fits squarely into this category of things I thought were black and white, and I'm realizing they just aren't. When I came back to Judaism from 17 years of leadership in Christianity and Messianic Judaism, I was convinced with absolute certainty that Christianity was completely wrong, with no exceptions, and that it was idolatry. I would get into heated arguments with people over the difference of opinion in this matter between the Rambam and Ramban, and I spent much of the past 18 years trying to prove that Christianity was untrue. Don't worry, I'm not about to announce that I've embraced Christianity again, but it wouldn't be totally inaccurate to say that I've embraced Christians. That is, I've come to a place where I feel that I clearly understand that everyone in this world is on a journey. Nothing in this world is crystal clear, and that God created each and every person on earth and loves them, no matter how they try to worship Him. I've often said that if everyone would just try to see the spark of divinity in every other person, the world would be a completely different place. Well, today I'm speaking with Dr. Rivka Lambert Adler, who has authored a book called 10 from the Nations, Torah Awakening Among Non-Jews. The title comes from Zechariah 8, verse 23, which says, "In those days it will happen that 10 people of all the languages of the nations will take hold of the corner of the garment of a Jew, saying, 'Let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you.'" And we're going to be talking about this emerging phenomenon, which would seem to be telling us that we are in those days now. No matter where you stand on the topic, you are sure to find this interview fascinating and perhaps even a little infuriating. But either way, you'll have to wait until we come back from the break. I'm Penina Taylor. You're listening to Leap of Faith, and we'll be right back.
Always challenging the status quo. Hello, I'm Rod Bryant on Beyond the Matrix here at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. I want to encourage you to listen each week, every Wednesday at the same time, for an amazing show that will challenge you, inform you, and inspire. News, views, and wisdom for the nations here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Don't forget, Beyond the Matrix every week, Wednesday, here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
Leap of Faith with Penina Taylor.
Hi, and welcome back to Leap of Faith. I'm Penina Taylor, and I'm really excited to be talking today with my dear and longtime friend, notice I didn't say old, Dr. Rivka Lambert Adler. Now, before we get started, even before I introduce you to Rivka, I guess I should start with a little disclaimer. The topic that we're going to be talking about today can be quite controversial. There are Jews and Christians alike who may not like some of what is said today, and I get that. But the truth is that the concept of a spiritual journey in and of itself is kind of a messy topic. It's very subjective, very experiential, very personal. When it comes to spirituality, or specifically religion, many of us have a little bit of an arrogance problem. See, we've worked through what we believe to be the truth with a capital T, and there are certain things we just know. When you've come to a place where you know something with absolute certainty, it's easy to believe that everyone else is wrong and to forget that we really don't live in a world of clarity. In fact, according to Jewish thought, we live in a world of concealment. And so what is obvious to you or me may not be obvious to me or you or anyone else for that matter. So I ask you to listen to our conversation, understanding that nothing in this world is truly clear. It's going to be a fascinating conversation, and I'm really looking forward to sharing it with you today. Dr. Rivka Lambert Adler is a Jewish adult educator who has been teaching, speaking, and writing about Israel for a very long time. And in recent years, she has become involved with bringing the Torah to non-Jews who have a hunger for it. Dr. Adler has written a book called 10 from the Nations, Torah Awakening Among Non-Jews, and she is the coordinator of something called the Torah School for the Nations. So I'm really super excited to introduce her to you. Hi, Rivka. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Panina. A delight to be here.
I agree. I'm very excited about having this conversation with you. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your background and how you ended up working on something like this book and with this Torah School for the Nations?
I have to say that it surprised me that I'm in this position. So let me go back and say I was born Jewish. I was born into quite an assimilated home, and I didn't really become interested in anything spiritual / religious until I was in my 20s. And I really had no Jewish education as a child. And I had looked in many different places, many different kinds of disciplines, many different kinds of spiritual expressions before I realized that there was actually something in my own tradition, the tradition into which I was born, that might resonate with me. So that didn't happen until I was in my 20s. And I like to say that I had a few great intellectual, emotional, spiritual passions in my own relationship with Torah. The first one happened almost immediately as I got connected to Orthodox, what is called Orthodox Judaism. And I wrestled right away from the very beginning with issues about women in Judaism, because I had come from obviously a secular background, a secular education. And I was caught off guard by some of the traditional approaches to gender issues in Judaism. And that was a big struggle for me for the first couple of years of my process of coming closer to Torah. Once I was able to learn Torah more deeply and get a handle on some of that, I developed a second obsession, I would call it, and that was with Israel, with making Aliyah. But I wasn't in a position actually to make Aliyah right away, to move to Israel. And so while you'll remember this, that while we both still lived in Baltimore, I did what I call channeling my own frustrated Aliyah energy into helping other people. So I ran a support group basically for people who were thinking about making Aliyah. Eventually, and it was a number of years later when it was my family's turn to come to Israel. And when I arrived in Israel, I realized that, okay, I had kind of achieved that dream. And in Israel, the energy about the end of days, about redemption, about Geula is much more palpable, at least it is for me. And so I started to really express what had been a kind of a minor interest of mine in all of that kind of, all of those kinds of things. And as a result of that, this is a long path to get there, because it just happened overnight. As a result of that, I was invited to start writing stories about Geula, about redemption, about the end of days, about what might be happening in Israel that seems to indicate that we are in this prophetic period for a predominantly Christian Zionist audience. Now, I knew the Torah world of the end of days and so forth, but I knew very little. I knew there were things people call Christian Zionists, but I didn't really understand what that was. And that's for a publication that I still write for called Breaking Israel News. And as a result of that, it's interesting how God like knit one step to the next. Mm. As a result of that, I started meeting people who were reading the kinds of stories that I was writing about biblical prophecy coming true in Israel. And they, because they are Christian Zionists, or in some way, however they define themselves, connected to Israel, they started contacting me and saying, hey, I'm coming to Israel and I'd like to meet you. And my joke that they always wanted to pay for dinner, so I always said yes. And they would come and they would tell me their stories, you know, their own spiritual stories, their own leap of faith stories. Mm-hmm. And I was as astonished as anybody could be that these people who were not Jewish had expressed some what I always thought of as Jewish practices. They were studying Parsha. They were studying the weekly Torah portion. They were studying Hebrew. They were getting together for Shabbat on the same day that the Jewish people get together on Shabbat. Many of them had renounced the observance of Christmas and Easter because they determined that those had pagan origins, and they were now trying to learn how to do what they call the biblical feast, which the Jewish people call the Chagim, or the Jewish holidays, following the calendar as it's expressed in the Jewish scripture. And I was completely and utterly caught off guard by these people. I had no idea that they existed. But I came to know more and more of them and more of their stories. And I wanted to write a story about, I didn't have a name for them. I just knew something's going on here. And as a Jewish person, like I said, it was a big surprise to me. And I bet to myself, most Jews had no clue that this was going on around the world. And so I was going to write an article about it. And I posted on Facebook a couple of years ago to ask my Jewish friends, do you know anybody who's not Jewish, who's doing like Jewish things? And I got a lot of responses of people. Yeah, I know somebody like that. My next door neighbor, somebody I work with, my cousins, whatever.
Can I just break in there for a second and interrupt you? I'm sorry. But, you know, we've got a lot of people listening, a lot of Jewish people who are probably thinking to themselves, yeah, they're doing that either because they have an ulterior motive to convert Jews, or because they think that somehow it makes their belief in Jesus more authentic because he was a Jew. But a lot of Jewish people are very suspicious of Christians who start practicing Jewish practices, especially since that's the one thing that makes us different from the world and is a marker of our covenant with God. What would you say to them?
Okay, so that issue came up for me personally. When I started meeting people like this, I felt myself defensive, not quite the right, protective. Mm. Like, what are you doing, you know, in my stuff, right? You have, you know, you have your own religion, and I have no problem with that as long as you're not trying to kill or convert my people. But these are Jewish things, and I was very uncomfortable for a while. And I had a mentor who's been doing this a lot longer than I have, and I discussed this with him, and he said, everybody goes through that because we have spent, that is the Jewish people have spent 2,000 years defending ourselves for good reason, against people coming from Christian backgrounds who have that agenda. What I have experienced is that something is shifting. It is not by any means all Christians. There are still plenty of Christians who either hate us or want to convert us. Plenty, 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 the vast majority. I'm speaking about a subgroup that has been estimated to be perhaps 1% of the Christians around the world who are not what most Jews think of when they think of Christians. This is a different kind of group on a different kind of spiritual journey. And you either have to, I would say to a Jew, you either have to take my word for it because I know these people personally, or you need to meet them and hear them speak about their own, what I call walk with Torah, because you will see that many of them, one of the very earliest stages in their own spiritual journeys is that they give up that whole replacement theology idea that that Jews need to be converted and brought to Jesus and all that. And in fact, many of them over time, as they get exposed to authentic Torah from Jewish teachers, their own understanding of who Jesus was and what role he plays in their life, that also shifts. So there are a number of paradigm shifts going on, both for people, what I call current and former Christians, and for Jews, about this phenomenon that it's just not as simple as they're the bad guys and we have to just keep our distance from them, because God is doing something in the world, and it is still a messy period. You know, a couple of years ago, we renovated our kitchen, and this is the analogy that I like to use about the stage that we're in with this whole process, is that when we renovated our kitchen, the first step was to destroy the kitchen down to its like rubble. And it was a long time before it could be built into something that was useful and functional and so forth. And that is to some extent the messy stage that we're in. But for the Jewish people to deny that something unprecedented is happening in the world with people coming from Christian backgrounds pointed towards Torah and so forth, it denies that people can grow and change. It denies that God is moving humanity in the world. And it also denies something that a lot of Jews don't understand, which is the Torah is not our exclusive property, but it has messages for all of humanity. And our job as Torah Jews is in part to share those common messages. And we are in a time in history where people who are not Jewish are coming in exact fulfillment of biblical prophecy and saying, I want to know, I want to hear, I want to learn, I want to get closer.
Rivka, I hate to cut in, but we have to take a short break now. We're coming to the end of this first segment, but when we come back, we will continue our fascinating conversation with Dr. Rivka Lambert Adler. You're listening to Leap of Faith. I'm Penina Taylor, and we'll be right back.
Shalom, everybody. Making a difference often takes just one moment and one person at a time. I am Orly Benny Davis, your show host on Israel News Talk Radios from Jerusalem with love. You'll be hearing people talking about politics, religion, social issues, and making a better tomorrow. Join me, Orly Benny Davis, for God and Country. From Jerusalem with love.
Wednesdays on Israel News Talk Radio.
Leap of Faith with Penina Taylor.
Hi, and welcome back to the second segment of Leap of Faith. I'm your host, Penina Taylor, and today I'm speaking with Dr. Rivka Lambert Adler, who just has had the most incredible experience working with and amongst non-Jews who are discovering Torah. And that doesn't mean that they're interested in converting to Judaism. So, Rivka, let's continue the conversation.
Okay, so there are a couple of loose ends that I want to tie up. And I'll start with what you just said. So I want to be really clear that I do not have an agenda to convert these people to Judaism.
Right.
It's been my experience that a tiny, tiny minority of them do eventually start asking about that. I'm not interested in that as an agenda item. What I want is for them to be exposed to authentic Torah from Orthodox Torah-based teachers. And so I facilitate that in every way that I can. And what they do with that information, that's between them and Hashem, them and God. I just want them to have the authentic Torah information that will inform whatever the next step is on their spiritual journey. So I want to be really clear about that.
Thank you.
We also spoke about this article that I was going to write, and this I think maybe is where we had to take a break. So I want to say that I was so intrigued by meeting these people that I wanted to write an article about it. And somebody suggested to me, a mentor of mine suggested to me that there's a book in this, in telling this bigger story. And the way that it came together is really kind of miraculous, because from the moment that he mentioned this idea until the book was in my hands was 6 months, which is extraordinarily fast.
Yeah.
So 10 from the Nations is a collection of the spiritual journeys of 37 people coming from Christian backgrounds who are on some kind of walk with Torah. And they're in all kinds of places, and they define themselves all kinds of different ways. And they're not in any way similar, except that they were born and raised Christians and now are intrigued by something, some aspect of Torah. One of the things I said in the introduction of the book that I think is really important is that there's something in this book that will make every single reader uncomfortable. You spoke before about how when we think we know something in the spiritual world, we can be uncomfortable. What'd you say?
Become arrogant.
We can become arrogant, but we can also become uncomfortable with people that don't see it the same way.
Right.
And so I wanted to let everybody know, whether you're a Torah Jew or you're a mainstream Christian or you're a Christian somewhere in this gray area between mainstream Christianity and Orthodox Judaism, and you're somewhere on that path, there is something in this book that will make you uncomfortable, I can promise you. But it's because I wanted to tell the widest story that I could about what's going on with Jews and with Christians and with the meeting in between them. So I tried not to censor things. And that meant dealing with my own discomfort. For example, when people wrote their stories and included a lot of talk about Christian scriptures or their relationship with Jesus, or that was all uncomfortable for me. But I felt that it was really important in the book to take a snapshot of a movement, of a phenomenon that was and is going on. And one of the other things I said, and this has proven to be true, is that people, when you read the book, people are not necessarily in the same place that they were when they wrote their essays, which could have been a year ago or 2 years ago or 3 years ago, whatever. And because people continue to change and evolve and refine their thinking and see things differently and meet new teachers and so forth. So it's a very dynamic place. The other thing I want to just quickly mention about the book before we go on to the next question is that there's also 12 chapters that are written by Jews like me and like you who are in some kind of capacity to reach out to people coming from Christian backgrounds. And so I wanted also that the book should tell that story as well, the story of how in the world Orthodox Jews, besides just me, because there are many, got involved in building bridges with people coming from Christian backgrounds. So that's a fuller idea of what 10 from the Nations, Torah Awakening Among Non-Jews is about and what I try to do with the book.
Cool, cool. Okay, so you wrote this book and you came in contact with all of these non-Jews who were on some sort of a Torah journey. But how did that translate to you working directly with and developing this Torah for the Nations program that you're involved in?
So that's a good question. I put the book out into the world because I wanted to document something that was going on. And I wanted Jews to begin to understand that all Christians are not the same and they don't all want to convert the Jewish people. And there are millions of Christians around the world who are exploring the Hebrew roots of their faith, genuinely seeking an authentic relationship with Jews, with Israel, with the God of Israel, with the Torah and so forth. And so I started speaking because of my own background in Jewish education, teaching mostly adult Jewish beginners. I started speaking to groups who invited me as a result of the book and wanted to hear more about it and so forth. And I realized that they had some misconceptions because many of them didn't know any actual Jews. Like they were kind of excited about Torah and they were getting some stuff online and getting some stuff from Torah books that are widely available in English, but they didn't have any actual Jewish teachers guiding them. And so there were misconceptions and even errors in their understanding of things. So I'll give you this one example. I was speaking to a group in Jerusalem and they were a tour group and I spoke about the book. These are people like the book represents, and it was a lovely crowd. And I had this idea that maybe I could teach them some stuff or I could facilitate because I spent much of my career as an adult education administrator. So not only providing education, but also developing programs so that adult Jews could come and learn more about their own tradition. And I was thinking about, wouldn't it be cool if they came to Israel and we took them for a week and they had this intensive sort of little yeshiva experience, intensive Jewish experience with Jewish teachers and we could do a Shabbat together and so forth. That was my original idea. And so I was discussing it with this group and this one woman said to me, because I was asking them, is this something you think you might be interested in? And she said, well, yeah, as long as you don't teach any Talmud. Mm. And I imagine that you know exactly where that was coming from. But for me, it was the first time that I ever heard that, because, of course, as an Orthodox Jew, to focus on the Bible without focusing on the rabbinic tradition, it's just not commonly done. And she told me that the Talmud is full of witchcraft, and I was completely, utterly blown away by that. Right. Because of course, as a Jewish person, we understand that the whole oral tradition and the rabbinic tradition is kind of part and parcel of how Jews approach Bible study and so forth. So I realized that there was a tremendous need for teachers, for these people that are already turned on. I'm not going into some mainstream Christian church and saying, hey, you guys need to study Torah with Jews. These are people who are already leaning in, you know, they are leaning towards us, but many Jews were not willing to speak to them. For many of them, I'm the first Jewish person that they ever met or had any contact with. And so I saw that there was a tremendous need. And not only that, but that it was an absolute fulfillment of the concept of being an Or L'Goyim, being a light to the nations, means if the Torah has messages for all humanity and it's not the exclusive property of the Jewish people, which is how I understand it, then we are meant to be Torah teachers. What we have been nurturing for 3,300 years is this Torah wisdom that now we're in a period of time where there are people from the nations saying, I want to know more. How incredible is that? But we have to be able to overcome our 2,000 years of reticence or fear or apprehension or whatever to be able to respond to that. So.
But I'm sure that there are quite a lot of Jewish people out there who are listening to us who are saying, but wait a minute, the Torah is the exclusive domain of the Jews and it's not for the non-Jews. What would you say about that?
So that turns out to be not true.
Okay.
So I want to tell you a story. When I first started doing this kind of work, I was invited to meet with a rabbi by the name of Rabbi Yitzchak Ginsburg, mm-hmm. who is very well known in Israel and has written a million books and so forth. In the group speaking with him were a number of people like me, Jewish people who had some kind of an outreach to non-Jews. And we wanted to know exactly what are the parameters, what are we allowed to do? Is this even permissible by Jewish law? And so forth. We were looking for some guidance. And basically what he said is that we are so close to the end of days that not only are we permitted to teach Torah without reservation and without limits to people who are interested from the nations. Again, we're not talking about going out and trying to proselytize to anybody, but only to respond to people who are interested. He said, not only are we allowed to, but we must. Because among the nations, there are people who need for their own spiritual growth and development to be closer to Torah. And they are only going to do that through connection with authentic Torah. I know that this is a halachically and emotionally uncomfortable reality for a lot of Jewish people who have been taught otherwise. And there is certainly room to disagree, but I will just say that there is rabbinic opinion to stand on. And if this is not your thing, if you are not interested in bringing Torah to the nations, then you shouldn't be doing it. But for people like me, I feel a very, not only a responsibility, but a calling to do that. And so I did my homework. I got rabbinic support from Rabbi Ginsburg and others for what I'm doing, and I'm proceeding along that course.
Wow. Wow, 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 wow. Thank you so much. Now, I hate to stop you again, but we're at the end of the second segment. When we come back, we'll hear more from Dr. Adler. You're listening to Leap of Faith. I'm Penina Taylor, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
This is Shai Bentico, and each week I'll be webcasting to you from Judea, origin of the word Jew, a people besieged and beleaguered in every generation. Nazi Germany is but a memory, but in its place the world invented the phantom Palestinians as this generation's internationally authorized Jew killers. Tune in for a different slant on life in Israel, Phantom Nation, every Monday.
Hi, I'm Rabbi David Aaron. The soul basics are the most profound, the most essential, and yet often the most neglected in our education. Join me for Soul Talk on Israel's News Talk Radio and discover the secrets to love, spiritual growth, and personal power.
Leap of Faith with Penina Taylor.
Hi, and welcome back to the last segment of today's Leap of Faith. I'm your host, Penina Taylor, and today I'm speaking with Dr. Rivka Lambert Adler, who is the author of a book called Ten from the Nations. And now we want to know, Rivka, what does it all mean?
What does it all mean? Okay, so I have to answer this with tremendous humility because I'm not sure that I know. I do have some ideas, which I'm happy to share with you. Before the advent of Christianity, there were always non-Jews living among the Jewish people in Israel who were living a Torah lifestyle that was appropriate for them as non-Jews. Halachically, by Jewish law, they are called Ger Toshav, and they even exist as far back as biblical times with people right. who were partners with what ultimately became the Jewish people, but who were not themselves of that lineage. And so it's not like, when I say that this is unprecedented, I mean what's going on is unprecedented after the advent of Christianity. It's clear to me, and I think it's clear to everybody who does this work, that this is somehow connected to the end of days. This is somehow connected to God's plan for the Torah being a guide for all of humanity. And what we are beginning to see is, as I said, probably only 1% of Christians, which still represents 22 million, in round numbers, 22 million Christians who are somewhere in this whole gray area between mainstream Christianity and Orthodox Judaism, however they define themselves. And that's a huge number of people for me and for all of the Jews who are willing and able and comfortable to interface with for a long, long time. What I believe as a Torah Jew is that ultimately the Torah will become the handbook for all of humanity, and that this idea that the Jewish people have a historic relationship with the Torah, both for ourselves and also as representatives of the Torah for the rest of humanity. I believe that ultimately everybody, whoever survives the end of days, and there's so many scenarios about how that could play out, will be living either as Torah observant Jewish people, whatever we're called in that time, or as righteous non-Jews, according to the guidelines that the Torah lays out for righteous Gentiles. How exactly that's going to happen, you know, I have my theories, but I'm humble enough to say I don't really know. But right. when I published the book, I definitely put this phenomenon that I was describing, I didn't editorialize about it too much, but I did write an extensive introduction about what I was seeing and how I felt about what I was seeing. And I said, this is clearly part of the messianic process. And it's clearly God's hand in this, because people literally all over the world are waking up in some regard and saying, I need to find out more about what this Torah thing is, about who these Jewish people are, about why Hebrew is a language unlike any other, about why for 2,000 years we have been doing Sunday worship and we have been doing the Christian holidays of primarily Christmas and Easter, and why we have stopped doing the biblical feasts that are in God's eternal word. And those are the people I hear. It's so fascinating, mostly through Facebook, is how people make preliminary contact with me. And I hear from people, there's something going on in Africa. I don't know what it is, but in Kenya, in Uganda, in other African countries, and of course Nigeria, they're not just whatever their local dialect is. Many of them also have some fluency in English. And so I hear from them. I hear from people in Muslim majority countries, and they're in the most difficult situation because they can maybe access some things on the internet, but they usually can't travel to Israel. There are no Jewish people around them. And so their lifeline to any of this is really kind of thin. But the vast majority of people that I interact with come from North America, from Canada and the U.S., from right. all over the place. There seems to be a real hot spot in Texas, right. And not exclusively in Texas, because I do hear from people in like rural South Carolina and just all over the U.S. and Canada. And many of them live in rural areas and isolated areas where they don't know any Jews, and I'll tell you this one story. There's a woman who lives, she so inspires me. She lives in rural South Carolina, and she's quite advanced. She's been able to advance her own Torah knowledge, even though she doesn't live near any Jews and so forth. And the closest Jew to her is a woman, an Israeli woman who now lives in South Carolina, who lives like an hour and a half away, who is not religious, but she's Israeli. And this woman who just loves Torah travels every week an hour and a half each way to study Hebrew with wow. this non-religious Israeli woman. And so I have been inspired. And I often say I'm like a little in love with these people, because they are doing something really swimming upstream, going against and, you know, their community's beliefs in trying to follow God. And many of them not only get pushback from their communities and maybe their former churches and their immediate families even, but they also are not particularly welcomed by the Jewish people. Not yet. We're not at that stage. So,
right. If I can bring up a point which you just touched on, but is really significant, is, you know, you were mentioning a hotspot in Texas. Now, I happen to have a lot of connection with a group of B'nai Noach, Noahides, which are non-Jews who are not Christian, who are, you know, believe in the authority of the Torah and the Jewish people and are trying to make their way in the world as non-Jews who are not called to convert but are not Christians. And they have, you know, a bit, especially now with social media being what it is, they have a large online network and community with Jewish people like me who are teaching them. But I would imagine that for Christians who are moving in the Torah direction, they're not messianic Jews in that they're not trying to usurp a Jewish identity, and they're not Noahides because they're not rejecting their Christian belief, at least certainly not yet. I would imagine that isolation is a really significant problem for them.
That is a direct on point, that it is astonishing. If you're like me and you're born Jewish, but you don't really know anything about Judaism until you're a young adult, one thing you do know is that as soon as you start becoming interested in Judaism, you know where to go and you know that there's community for you.
Right.
A worldwide community for you. And you can plug into that. If you're a Christian and you go to a mainstream Christian church, even if you move towns or whatever, you can find other Christians. These people are so devoted to trying to find out what is true, what does God want from them, what relationship with God are their souls meant to have, that many of them do exist in isolation, and they sometimes find each other online and so forth. But I've heard stories of people who get divorced over this. I've heard stories of people who lose their children over this, stories of people who have to leave their community because they are wrestling with God, wrestling with Torah, and they are not necessarily interested in becoming Jews. That's part of the messy stage that we're in, because there is no built-in community for them. Eventually, I think it will mature and flourish, and it'll be much more than just online. But in many, many of these places, if there are two families or three families that can do some kind of home study, home fellowship, they're so lucky to have anybody who speaks their language. And so that just, for me, adds to my admiration for them, that they are willing to let go of the social structures in order to follow God. And I know that a lot of Jewish people, at least their first instinct, is to be very negative about this phenomenon. But I have to say that for the period of time that I have been involved in this, which is just a few years, I've been unbelievably impressed by their devotion and their willingness to sacrifice for what is true. And many of them are very lonely, and it's especially hard if they're single. Because how do they meet somebody who has spiritual beliefs similar to theirs? And there's so much in process. How do they know if they meet somebody that they'll end up in the same place? It's a tremendously brave thing that they're doing.
Okay, Rivka. Well, we have basically just a minute or so left for today's program. In that last minute, is there anything that you would like to tell others who are maybe non-Jews who are just embarking on this journey, or Jewish people who really don't know what to make of this?
Well, so one of them is, please read my book, Temperament, Star Awakening Among Non-Jews, because that sort of lays out the big picture, I think. But the other thing is, to non-Jews, I would say, I want them to know that they're not alone. And that was also part of why I put this book together, because they are often very isolated, but there's something worldwide going on that God is doing and that they are part of that. And even though we don't know exactly what it's going to look like at the end, I hope that they are comforted by connecting with other people who are asking the same questions and coming to some of the same conclusions. To the Jewish community, I would ask that they take a deep breath and that they be not threatened by what's going on, but instead excited that the Torah that we so value and cherish is becoming significant for other people, for non-Jewish people, in the way that I believe that God always intended. And they can be in touch with me if they're looking for biblical or rabbinic support about how to reframe their traditional understanding of the Torah and it's the message of universal worship of Hashem that is all throughout, not just Tanakh, not just the Hebrew Bible, but all throughout our liturgy. And I've put some of those resources together and I'm so happy to share them.
Awesome. Okay, so Rivka, if somebody wants to get in touch with you, what's the best way for them to do that?
So they can certainly do that on Facebook, but if they're not on Facebook, they can reach me at editor, E-D-I-T-O-R, editor at 10fromthenations.com. The book, 10 from the Nations, is available on Amazon and all kinds of online places. And I'm really so happy to hear from anybody that this issue touches.
Amazing. This has been a really fascinating and incredible conversation, Rivka. Thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Thank you for the invitation. It's my pleasure.
And I hope you'll come back. I hope we'll have more of these conversations. Well, you've been listening to Leap of Faith. I'm Penina Taylor, and I'd love to hear from you too. If you'd like to be in touch with me, you can email me at penina@israelnewstalkradio.com. That's PENINA@israelnewstalkradio.com. Thanks for being with me here today, and I'll see you next time when we take a leap of faith together here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. Just click the orange button at the top of the IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com homepage, log in as yourself or an anonymous guest, and join in on the fun. You'll meet other listeners from all over the world who listen to Israel News Talk Radio, and you can make new friends. Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. It's the closest you can get to being in the studio with us.
We love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candle lighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.